afternoon. I am very happy to be here in Chicago this afternoon to speak to this lovely bunch of God's children. And it seems so good to stand behind the pulpit again. This has been several days. I was sitting in the room there waiting a few moments ago, and when you started singing Only Believe, Billy looked over at me. A little tear dropped on the inside of my heart. I don't know whether you know what I mean or not. On the inside, to hear that song again, Only Believe. And I thought that once more I go to the platform. We drove up this morning, got in just a little bit of going, got over here. And so my reason of being here today, one of the reasons, is of course seeing you dear people. I always love the country of Chicago. I just feel in your home now, but I don't have to say that in this afternoon, but that's the truth. And then to get to say to be with my brother Jose. And I heard him, he called me the other day and said, can you come up Sunday? And I said, no, can't do it, Brother Joseph. I said, I'm just, my wife expecting the little one at any time. I said, I just couldn't go. He said, well, I was going away. I'm going overseas. He said, I'll say goodbye or so long, we call it. Anyway, as preachers, we don't tell one another goodbye because we will live forever together. We just say so long until it goes over and wish him God's blessings and get to say so before the church here. And then I thought maybe that I'd get to say before him in the church, I usually in these healing services I have, I don't get to express myself, my feelings to people the way I want to. But I wanted to express to this church this afternoon in the best way that I have, which is very poorly, but my appreciation to Brother Jose, your pastor. As I say it like I do to my wife, I said, there's a little sweet I really love. He calls me Ruler Branham, and I call him Joseph, so you know what kind of friends we are. And this is the boy we're going to have. His name's going to be Joseph, too. That's right. So we really appreciate Brother Joseph. He, not before he said he's there, that if he would be gone, it would be better. But I have many lovely, loyal friends that I certainly esteem highly. Just coming up a few moments ago, coming up the South Shore Drive, I guess you call that over there, what Billy and I were talking. And he said, you're going back to my dad? I said, I'll be too tired. Billy, I don't speak to clients yesterday. And I said, I'll be too tired. He said, you know what? But I think that Brother Bove is one of the finest fellows that I've ever met. I'll say it to the words of my boy, and he told it. That's right. I've learned to love Brother Joseph. Here's what I like about him. Many things. First, in a Christian brother. Second, you can depend on what he says. I like it. I like a man that when he tells you anything, you stand by. Another thing is this. He's my friend whether I'm right or wrong. Now, anybody can be your friend while you're wrong. But when you're in the wrong, then he's still your friend. Now, it's not all the time that I'm right, you know. Biggest part of the time, I'm perhaps wrong. But whether I'm wrong or right, Joseph Jose is my friend. I've seen him in the hard trials. I've seen him in the times where the public knows nothing about when we come up against testing times. He's always stood to my side like a brother. And I appreciate that very much. I've certainly been, people try to discourage me, said, Brother Joseph is a Latter-day Saint or Latter-day, what is it? Latter-day Saint? I said, I don't care if he's first, second, latter, or all between. He's my brother. Our coming together, a meeting was once got canceled in Chicago, Illinois, in a tent meeting because they never seen him alive. I canceled the tent meeting on account they wouldn't invite Brother Joseph to meeting. You all don't know that, but that's true. I just returned from Stockholm, Sweden, and the group that was with me said, is this the full cooperation of all churches? Yes. And I said, that little fellow that they talk up there, what's the Swedish church over there, Brother Peter's new? I said, is he cooperating? Well, the fellow that was talking to me said, no, you see, Brother Branham, it would hurt your meeting, said, because he's a Latter-day Rain. I said, if he can't be there, how can he do it? God, I said, if we are any denomination, that means everybody. I don't care who it is.
Yes.
If it's Methodist, Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, whatever it is,
yes,
they're going to be just the same. And we can't draw straws and say, this fellow has no right, because we're perfectly brethren together, and that's the way we want to remain that way.
Yes.
So no matter what church they go to, we're all brothers in Christ, and that's when we're born again of the Spirit. And I appreciate Brother Joseph with all my heart. And then I just imagine, this is not said to me, and I have nothing pre-thinking, but I just imagine when he was talking to me there, that before he left, knowing that he's a poor man, just lives with the arms of the people like I do, that before going, they'd probably take a love offering for the man before going over. I wish I was able to do that. I asked him a few moments ago, I said, Brother Joseph, will you be taking up the love offering for yourself? He said, perhaps so, Brother Branham, tonight you'll probably. I said, I wish I could take it for you, brother, but I said, you'd go broke if I did. But I said, I just like, you've never heard me say, mention anything from the platform, because I never took an offering in my life. A brother or anything that I could do to help that man along, I do it. Because I tell you why. When I was in tight place, you all know nothing about it. You done it. I was here one time going overseas and making arrangements and ready to go. Liking $2,000 and having to pay for the ticket. That's right. Enough to pay for the tickets, but by faith, God had called me and I was going. And Joseph, by inspiration, I never told him, but by inspiration, he walked down and stuck that up with the people, not so strange things. When you're going overseas, you need money to go on or something on that order, and tuck that off and up out of Chicago. By faith, we did it. I bought the tickets the next day and left. I wanted to say that him going over to everything to him tonight, may that good Lord bless him real good and finish. Maybe he's never been in this part of the country before, hey, Brother Joseph, where you're going.
No.
He just says to me, I have his faith in you. So I know it's a hard thing when you get into Africa. I pray that God will be with my brother and bless him in everything, and may win souls to Christ over there. And I hope that the good Lord makes it possible that he can just have the most successful meeting he ever had in all these lives, and return back to Chicago freshly and so forth and ready to bring the news back to you people of a great revival. This will make him a missionary when he goes this time. I know that kind of sounds a little strange to you people in other churches. Listen, a missionary is not a person who changes the nation to live.
Right.
A missionary is a person who goes and comes back. Paul was the greatest missionary the world ever knew. Is that right? If you just train a man and send him around and make his home and he stays all his life, he just changes his nation. Now, isn't a missionary? A missionary is from one place to another place and to another place. And so Paul went all the way around and come back and go out again, all the way around and come back. So Paul was a missionary. So Joseph, may God bring him back safely as a missionary.
Hallelujah.
And bring him back again. The Lord bless you. And to you, dear people here in Chicago, I was going to ask maybe, is there any sick among us today? If there is, raise up your hand. Somebody for maybe you have prayer meeting tonight. Pray for the sick. If you like a prayer for the sick tonight, raise up your hands. Everybody would like a meeting for, well, fine. That's good. Then we'll keep praying for the sick tonight. I'll leave some cards here for them to give out along about 6:30 or something like that. You come down and get your prayer card and we'll pray for the sick. 6 o'clock? Yeah, all right. It's 6 o'clock then tonight. That'll be fine. All right. Now, the first thing that Billy Paul's been hearing, I mean, searching the car and see if he got any prayer for you. Have you got some? He's got something to make some out of.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that'll be fine. All right, and tonight we'll be praying for the sick. Now this afternoon, it's getting late, and we're just never get started. You know how we are, kind of slow to get started and slow to stop. But I just love to come up here and talk to you, dear people. And will you be praying for my beloved wife? Will you do that for the little fellow that's coming on? Poor little woman. She's just certainly having a time. And we're looking to him who's the invisible one for deliverance. Now, in the book of St. John, I'd like to read just a few words and speak to you for a few moments. Oh, yes. Thank you, brother. And now we'll try to get away in about 30 minutes. If the Lord willing, I want to speak to you today. Let's read some of the scriptures. And St. John, 1 John, the first chapter. Now, I see they're down here, my friends Leo and Gene, a couple of boys in your neighborhood here, take recordings. And say, by the way, these boys go to all the meetings and take recordings, and they have them on tape. I sent for a tape to somebody who preached a sermon the other day, and I sent for a tape. My, I thought I was going to have to buy the whole country to get the tape. About $9 for a tape. I thought, ooh, my. I was questioning these boys. I said, what about this? Well, my, what a difference it was in what they had. I mean, they have every message and so forth. They're all fat, grass, cornbread fed, but it'll do you good. It'll help you a whole lot. It's brought me safe this far. I'm ready to take it. I've trusted in the very shadows of death. This old home religion that saved me. It might not be just polished up like it should be, but I want the blessing to God with me regardless of how polished it is. And the Lord bless these two boys who just give their life for that purpose and their work. Now, we'll begin to read at the fifth verse, just to, down including the seventh verse. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is life and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that beautiful? Now, shall we bow our heads just a moment? Our Heavenly Father, speaking today to this lovely audience of eternity-bound people, perhaps the most of them already washed in the blood of the Lamb, made their robes white, clean, forgiven of all their sins and their trespasses, and are waiting for their summons for on high. And we've come to speak and to have this little fellowship together with our brother before leaving for the overseas to fulfill the great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Bless our dear beloved brother, Lord, in his mission. Bless the little church that waits now for him to return, waiting in prayer for their beloved pastor. Bless his sisters that will take the place, all the elders and the people. Bless the reading of the scripture, and now give us fellowship with these just now around the word while we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, speaking on the word and the word of fellowship, thinking coming up there, it might be a marvelous time to speak just on fellowship for a few moments. That's one of the greatest things. Everyone desires fellowship. People today, they'll say, will you just come over with me over the house a little while? Let's have just a little time of fellowship. Then many times businessmen will say, will you have a lunch with me today at dinner? Go out and just have a little lunch together, eat a piece of pie or something, a time of fellowship, eating. Eating goes with fellowship. And while we're talking this afternoon, may the Holy Spirit of God take the Word of God and feed every hungry soul in it. Eating accompanies fellowship. And man shall not live by bread alone, saith the Lord, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit then likes to eat and fellowship with the believers. What a time. We're all gathered around a great table now. For the good things of God is just piled up high. God's got in his bounties and blessings everything that we have need of. All the vitamins, everything that we have need of to make us full, sturdy, healthy Christians, filled with his Spirit, washed in his blood. And what a time that we can fellowship. And if you ever think the old proverb that man has once said, my mother used to use this much, birds of a feather flock together. That's right.
Yeah.
You watch them. You won't see doves and scavengers together because they can't eat the same diet. A scavenger, a buzzard, he can just eat
anything, a crow can sit out there on a dead carcass and eat. The dove couldn't do it. If she'd eat it, it would kill it. She just can't eat it. She just goes over in a wheat field and begins to eat in the wheat. She associates with her own kind. But here's the startling part. Did you know the crow can eat on the dead carcass and also eat wheat? You can eat both. See? So you have to watch them, fellas. That pipe. That can sit in the meeting and pertain to enjoy the meeting, go back out and take the things to the world. That's the way social believers are today. But we like to congregate ourselves together with those who separated themselves from the things of the world, called out, and been made new creatures in Christ Jesus and fellowshipping around the blessings of the Holy Spirit. What a marvelous thing. Now, man was born to have fellowship. Man, in the beginning, back in the Garden of Eden, he had wonderful fellowship. God come down and fellowship with his company of men and women every evening. In the cool of the evening, God would come down under the good palm trees, perhaps the sacred light as it was shining down in Adam and Eve in that great cathedral in the open. Fellowship with God had nothing to worry about as long as they were fellowshipping. I love fellowship with man. I like to go out and talk with people who love the Lord and have fellowship with them because we see the same thing. Our motives are the same. Our ideals are the same. I like to talk to people on the... I've got a friend sitting right down here that likes to hunt and fish. Many times we have a lot of fellowship together, just sitting around talking on those things because we like those things. Now, but the greatest fellowship that any man ever had was when he had fellowship with God.
Amen.
When God had gave himself open to man to fellowship back and forth with his creature, the Creator and his creature. Now, when God was fellowshipping with Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam had nothing to worry about. Everything was on the smooth and running. Right. He didn't have to worry about his clothes. He didn't have to worry about something to eat. Didn't have to worry about sickness. He didn't have to worry about death, sorrow. He knew nothing about them, just the freedom like a child. He had a Heavenly Father who watched over him and fellowship with him daily. Wouldn't it be marvelous if we could be back like that again?
Yeah.
And do you know every redeemed soul today that's living under their privileges of that kind of fellowship with God? Do you believe that? God will take care and provide everything that we have need of in this journey. And at the end of the close of this old mortal tabernacle, God promised to give us another one.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I have a little funny idea about when we die. I might as well express it. I'm at home. Brother Joseph said one time, I was going to answer a woman's question. It might be a little contrary. He said, Brother Branham, I said, now, Brother Joseph, here's what I want to say. And he said, look, don't say it. So when we wrote our rules and what we believe in this church, we end with a comma, not a period. We believe this plus as much more as we can hear. So that's very good. I like that. Now, when John 14, when he said, in my Father's house is many mansions, speaking to his disciples before going away, I can't imagine that being a stone and bricks and mortar. I believe the tabernacle he is speaking of was another body to live in.
Yeah.
In my Father's house is many tabernacles are mentioned. Destroy this tabernacle and I'll raise up in 3 days. And again, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already prepared and waiting. See? But I believe that when we are spending a few days to go on Mount Wilson, Palmer, rather out there in California, that great observatory where it's 120 million years of light space. And they were timing and how science gets turned around in their technology. I tell you, when I went to school and listened to that science, I tell you, there's nothing like I was taught in school. You know, my daddy used to sit down and he said to the Bible, he said, this kind of world can, I said, Dad, the sun stands perfectly still, scientific proof, and the world turns around it. He said, Joshua said he stopped the sun. I said, how are you going to do that? I said, Daddy, we're taught it in school. And I said, they're scientifically proven. And he said, well, maybe they have it. That ain't my kind of science, he said. He believes that Joshua, and I asked the Bible teacher, he said, well, of course, you know, Joshua, that people in that day were ignorant, and God just looked at his ignorance, and he stopped the world and said, but now, they have to take that back. The sun does run. The sun turns too. They've scientifically proven it. The sun turns. When I was a boy going to school, he said, when the sun goes down, it shows the light over on the stars, and then the stars, that reflects the light of the sun. Now the scientific proof, that can't be so. It takes up billions and billions of years for the sun, light traveling so many million miles per hour, or whatever it is, traveling from the sun to get to one of the stars. So it isn't a star, it makes its own light now. Brother Moore, boy, graduated, and one of the great scientists come here a few weeks ago, and embraced him and gave him his scholarship. He said, in Washington, D.C., the 124 latest scientist books on all the modern science is scientifically proven. He said, young man, it takes you 2 years to read through that book. And as you read through them, you'd have to discard everything you learned because it'd be something different. And when he said that, I squeaked out a little, amen, right there. Well, I thought I could stand and say this, but I've got a book here that angels will turn on and on and on and never have to compromise. It'll always be the same because it's inspired. They have to come back to it every time. Oh, don't try to learn. Lift your head, really trying to study science, just study God's Bible, because it's the purest book of all. Then I think that whenever this soul leaves the body, we go into another house not made of hands. We go in the presence of God and there, tabernacle with Him in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And that is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And then as He is, we are when we go into our new tabernacle over there. And then as He said, wherever two or three are gathered together, I'll be in there in it. Then he's bound to be here this afternoon, just as sure as there's a heaven and an earth. Jesus Christ is present now. But what it is, he's in an unseen condition. We can't see him, but there's something about the Christian soul that when man realizes when his presence is there, he's standing in the presence of something that he can't see. We are known as this radio going through here now, this television going through here now. I can't pick it up, but it's in another world. And souls are angels of God placed around in this room watching this afternoon. The angels of God are encamped about those who fear Him. Jesus is on all present, all the time, watching over it. And we know that that's to be the truth. I think of when Elijah down there stopping. When the Gehazi went out and the door and said, oh, the whole Syrian army, look at them, they've done got this city compassed about, and we're surrounded. Elijah said, there's more with us than there is with them. He said, well, I couldn't see nobody. He said, God opened this boy's eyes. And when his eyes come open, the mountains are on fire, and angels of fire, spirits of fire. Sure, he's here.
Amen.
And when Christian believers can believe that present now, right now, sitting together, seated here in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, fellowshipping, amen, around the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, we're taking the Word of God, God's angels, moving it out into every heart like that, as the Word is going forth and every believer receiving it. Oh, if we would stand and claim our God-given privileges, that's the time that God can ever take that wishbone out of a person's back and put a real old-fashioned gospel backbone in it. Somebody who will stand for truth. No matter how dark it looks, God let the Hebrews firm walk right into the fire furnace before he ever turned a hand. He's always there. Don't be scared. He's always present. Amen. And if the footsteps of a righteous man is ordered the Lord, what we got to fear? God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, my, thank God. Oh, the dynamic forces of heaven gathers together in a meeting. Amen. Just trying to find an outlet is the Holy Spirit taking the word and pounding away like an air hammer against a rock. Oh, my. Break up our stony hearts and move away the belief that underneath and fellowship around the Word. Fellowship is wonderful. When Adam and Eve separated themselves from God by sin, separated them, they become a wanderer and no fellowship, wandering about, weeping down. That's what's the matter with man today. Sin has separated man from that type of fellowship. Today we wonder how we're going to do this and wonder how we're going to do that. Jesus said the heathen seek after such things. How we, what we shall eat or how we shall be clothed, what will we do with this, that, or the other. As all those things, he says, the Gentiles, the unbelievers see.
Yes.
But your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of even before you have
yes.
Yes. What a carefree condition.
Yes.
Well, I got a little brown-eyed girl down there. Why, she jump off the fence, got her anything. She don't care as long as I'm standing there. She said, Daddy picked me up. She's just carefree. I thought, oh God, if I could just be like that. Just carefree.
Yes. A few days ago, Brother Joseph encouraged me a lot. I've seen a lot of stuff rising up in the churches that should not be. And oh, the Irishman, you know, I had to go out and stop it all myself.
And I was going to go out and say, this can't be like this and this can't be like that. Can't do it because you go to Paul God's program. You're getting stuff in there that shouldn't be in all of this. And I knew it was wrong, scripturally wrong.
Right.
And I was first thing, you know, I began to find myself getting a little kind of off the line, getting bitter. I stopped out on a rant, began to pray, and Joseph come down. He said, look, I just read the history of Martin Luther. And the question was that they didn't wonder about Martin Luther able to protest the Catholic Church and get by with it. But what the wonder was that Martin Luther, of all the fanaticism that followed it, and he raised up out of all of it. That's the main thing. Then I heard it was as Christ said, what is that to thee? Follow around me. I'll take care of the rest of it. You just go ahead and follow me. That's the way it is. Then get back to the carefree again. All right. When man separates himself from God, he become a wanderer, wandering about everywhere. And what a picture that is of today. When man really gets out of fellowship with God, this week he's a Methodist, and next week he's a Baptist, and then he's this and that and the other, wandering about, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. The heart ought to be established. I don't say you should be Methodist, Baptist, or whatever. You ought to be right with God.
Amen.
Yeah, no matter what church you go to, what group you fellowship with, any group of whether it's the assemblies or the oneness or the two-ness or the Latter-day Saints or whatever it is, just long as your fellowship is clean with God.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible said we, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And then we have fellowship one with another.
Yes.
Amen. I love that. Oh, my. The way then God seen that man out of fellowship, man, he must do something to restore his creature back to where he could get his heart again, where he could get his way back. Now, there's where the sad part starts right now. Now, man has tried to substitute something for that fellowship ever since the beginning of time. Now, today, we say, sure, everybody comes on our church. We haven't. The Methodist wants to believe that on theirs, the Baptist on theirs, the Catholic on theirs, the Presbyterian on theirs, Pentecostal on theirs, the Apostolic on theirs. And in that, they formed a declaration of creeds. And they have this church set up and a bunch of creeds. And around that, they claim that that is the way to have fellowship. Listen, you can't have fellowship that way. You could join every church there is in the country and still be out of fellowship with God. God laid down the only plan back there in the beginning when he slew a lamb, or sheep, and poured out the welcome mat for the human race to come back to fellowship, and that was through the blood.
Amen.
Now you hear so little about the blood today. We're always speaking about other things. We're speaking about the crimes and about the atomic bombs. Those things are all right. But brother, to me, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Yeah.
And when the blood's been properly applied, sin is done away with. And man is back in fellowship with God. Amen.
Yeah.
What we need today is a good old-fashioned blood bond. Revival. Amen. Life reigns in the blood team.
Yeah.
And when the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, then we have fellowship with God.
Yeah.
You can repent or come up and make a confession, go on 6 months probation, be swaggled out of the salt, sick and blonde in Methodist Church. Yes, sir, and have fellowship with every one of them.
Right.
Or you can come up to the Baptist church and get the right hand of fellowship and make a confession and be baptized in water. Have fellowship with the Baptist church.
Let me tell you, in a Pentecostal church, you can pray a little loudly and speak with tongues and have fellowship with every one of them. But my brother, sister, until your soul's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll never have fellowship with him.
Right.
And when your soul has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, all malice, hatred, envy, strife, all these things are God. The blood makes an atonement. Amen.
Yes.
That's the reason today in our Pentecostal fellowships, in our different full gospel fellowships, we are so much hang on, so much chasm and stuff in our bodies, because our different isms and things that are set in, is because if one will pull out be this, another pull out be this, and one pull out and start a denomination or an organization, the very reason that is because the person's heart wasn't right with God to start with. God wants us all as one body. One body of believers baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, my. God laid out one mat to meet people on. That was a welcome mat. From the once fallen fellowship, the restoration, that is the blood. You with love. You have fellowship. Restoration to fellowship with God. Adam cannot meet upon his own theology. He so fiddled around himself that it wouldn't work. He made his own organization, he made his own denomination, but it wouldn't work. Yeah. And today, when I drove up around the side of your nudist colony down here, it was on the road up there, they can't even wait until the sun gets hot. Yeah. Laying stripped out on the beach down there, men and women together, look like a bunch of, I don't know what. And every one of them perhaps going to some church somewhere, saying a few prayers over Jesus, singing a doxology somewhere, making choirs and lay out like that. It shows that something is let down. Moral, being sensible people won't act like that. Brother, that's true. If you ever get a touch of Christ in your heart, you fall into such places. Amen. Now, I might disagree with that, but you get down that heart one time, right, and see what God will do about it. I tell you, even my poor little girl, she ain't but 2 years old, walked out of the room there out in the other day out in the yard, and there was a woman out there mowing grass with a little old clothes out, looked horrible. And that 2-year-old child come in and said, "Oh, Daddy, that lady forgot her skirt." Now there you are. You see, a baby don't care, but when men and women, if their hearts become seared, it's demons. Powers of the devil! There never was but one thing in all the ways that was sick man, and that was devil. Sick women and others. That's exactly the man you want. It looks like a bunch of prehistoric animals laying shipped out there with no conscience. The Bible said they'd have their conscience seared with a hard iron. And them same people, this one I'm speaking of, in particular, I know now, saints in a choir. Oh, they got fellowship with their group. Glory! The fellowship of Christ! Yes, sir. I'm no less strong, brother and sister. But God help us if the Pentecostal church don't get back to the blood of Christ again. Get back. It used to be a sin a long time ago for Pentecostal people to act like that. They didn't do it a long time ago, but they do it too now. It's because the pulpit's getting loose.
You begin to think about you belong to this church, a denomination, or something like that. You better have fellowship again. Amen.
It's going to be a horrible thing one of these days. One of the disappointments of judgment. The bootlegger ain't going to be, he knows what his doom is.
The liar and the thief, they know what their doom is when they stand before God. But when the disappointment comes, it's those who belong to Pentecostal churches.
Will be turned away on fire, for they know better and will walk into it. Amen. Hallelujah. What we need today is a good old fashioned shaking revival. Let's get back to place again under the foot of the Lord Jesus. Under fellowship. It's been the means of approach always down to the age, down to people. Watch it down along God's only way of all. The oldest book in the Bible is Job. When Job approached God and had fellowship with God through the shed blood, Job offered a lamb each time when he went to fellowship. the worshipers of the Old Testament all the way through from Genesis, come on over to the New Testament. Every time they go to have fellowship with God, they make a burnt offering.
Amen.
For the lamb first, because they're approaching under the blood. Job, when he was approached God, he killed a lamb. That's the oldest book in the Bible. It was wrote before Genesis is written. Moses wrote Genesis. Now, hundreds of years later. But notice, Job was the oldest book, and all the way from Eden, Job would make a sacrifice, pour out the blood of the lamb, and through that blood he would confess his wrong. Take God, be merciful to me now, and I approach thee to the blood. You know why people ain't getting their prayer answered the way they should? They're coming in a psychological workup instead of by the will of the blood.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. I'm by the blood, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood, child never loses its power. For all the handsome church of God be saved just in the world.
Yeah.
That's what we got to come to, the shed blood. And there Job offered the shed blood as he approached Jehovah, knowing if God would receive him not upon nothing else. If you approach him today in the name of a good man, I pay my debts, I don't cheat the government, I pay my income tax, I do all these things, I'm a good neighbor. Your God will never hear you.
That's right.
If you say, I'm a loyal church member, I tithe my money, I give good offerings into the church, I'm a pillar, God will never receive you.
That's right.
Never.
That's right.
Not at all. You say, well, my mother was a good woman, my father was a good man, my grandfather was a preacher. All that too, and I've never did this, I've never steal, I never drink, I never spoke, I never lie, I never do these things. God will never hear you.
That's right.
And no matter who you are, how bad you've been, if you'll come, God provided for you through the sacrificial blood, taking the name of your hand upon the head of the dead lamb, or the dying lamb, and confess your wrong and accept him. Then God will fill your soul with the Holy Spirit, burning out all the iniquity, carnality, and making you a new creature.
Amen.
Job, I think about Job in that day as a dad. He had a bunch of children. They were kind of wayward. And he was always thinking of his children. Wouldn't it be a lot better if all the church members of Chicago had that same kind of idea about their city? You wouldn't have no juvenile delinquency.
That's right.
You wouldn't see these race riots, riots and things you have around here today.
No.
Shooting, killing, stealing, rape, and all these things. It's because the people are unconcerned about the children.
That's right.
The first thing they said, well, I put them on the cradle when they will return the rest of it over to the Sunday school teacher and her out of a dance maybe all night. Come in, fixed up like some kind, just going to a circus instead of a church.
Yeah.
And put your children in the hands of something like that, mother, shame on you. You ought to put that child at your knees down there and read the Bible. Bring your hands over on the head. Call out to God. God be merciful. Spare my daughter, my son. I love to do it. Take them little girls of mine, sit them down there and just sit in the lives, listen up. Their ears, listen to their eyes, looking on. I tell them about all about Jesus and how he loves them and things. They'll kneel right around the chairs and pray just like the rest of us. That's the way we want to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the way many of you do it. That's what you should do. I went into a many home, and the children are all gathered around for family prayer always. God bless that family.
Amen.
That's the tie that binds.
Yes,
if you did that at your home, there wouldn't be so many divorce cases and things going on the way there is. You'd have fellowship with each other. And I see Joel. As children got married and went out to different ways, as they do like birds from a nest, Job knowing that there was no other way, not a possible way, that man could ever approach God and have fellowship with him, only through the sacrificial lamb, through the blood. Job said, "Peradventure my children might have sinned. So I'll offer a lamb for them." Something told Job he better make it ready. He better be ready. And then when he made the offering of the sacrificial lamb for his children, one day it happened. The storm came and killed a lot of them in fire and so forth and destruction. But before this happened, Joel made sure that each one was under the blood.
Amen.
Rejection, turning down today. This nation is Christ killing as fast as it can. Breathing away the Holy Spirit with creeds and forms of religion.
Yeah.
reading the Holy Spirit. I was reading not long ago, I heard somewhere, oh, this great evangelist Billy Graham, when he was in Scotland. You know what's the matter? If the Pentecostal people had kept their heads together instead of breaking out and making everything like you did, your services would be going on like the Baptists, but the Baptists took it away from you. That's right, they're having a revival, going somewhere. Because they do everything they want, they have their prophet the way they want, they stick behind him. But if they let one raise up out of the same reason, I think about 7,000, I had about 7,000 sent on the outside, and he had about 3,000. That's wrong. So when I went over to see him, I thought some little old boy stand up like a little lion nursery rhyme, Jesus, he had a baby born in the manger. But when I seen that little boy, it was different. That little fellow was just about that high. I didn't even know it was a little baby. He threw off his coat, took a truck, and preached like a preacher. I knew God was with him. I said, hey, there's a little boy that God sent. Now, if you church pappies will get around him, not let him get puffed up in his head and let him go to run over the bunch of money, and get around him and put the right influence on him, he'll save thousands of little children. But I sent up there and organ, Grant's Pass organ one morning before Brother Hall and him, I said, watch, it won't work. I said to some of the group, I said, what about getting little David now to come into a city like that? And well, I said, he's a wonder. I said, I don't care what he is. God's with him. Well, of course, now the assemblies had to get them a little David. The Church of God got them a little David. And the first thing you know, there's thousands of little David. The very principle that God was trying to get to the children, they're pouring the thing down. Don't know their days. The ox knows his master's crib and the mule knows his stall, but my people know not, said God. That's why they don't know the day of their visitation. It's a funny thing. They're kind of stranger things to get God's people to see the day of the visitation. They just certainly begin to pull around something or other, personalities or something, and don't know how to handle it. Move their fellowship into a denomination instead of into Christ. And when Joel seen what he had done then, how he had offered that sacrifice, the Bible said that his children was gathered with him. Now, making preparations. Another thought, Israel. When they had fellowship, notice what they did. Before the great destruction came, the angel that destroyed their lands, the destroying angel, the first thing taking place, Israel was commanded to take a lamb and kill it and put the blood on the door and every family go in and eat that lamb.
Yes.
Fellowship around the roasted lamb. Eat the body of the dead sacrifice that died in their stead. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The death angel could not touch them because the blood of the Lamb was over the door and they were in your having communion.
Yes.
Fellowshipping around the Lamb. That's what it is in our hearts when we apply the blood of the Lord Jesus taking away all sin.
Yes.
Then we can have fellowship eating the Word of God around the table of God. Fellowshipping upon the godly things. You preach divine healing, every one of them in Christ. Amen. That's right. Preach that we should lay aside all sin, malice, strife, and things. Amen, says the true believer. That's right. Fellowshipping around the Word. See what I mean? Now, always the only place that God has ever said that He'd ever meet man. He never promised to meet us in denomination. He never promised to meet us in any other way but through the shed blood.
Amen. Yes.
Israel or the Old Testament. No matter where they was, they, before they worshiped God, they come to a common meeting place, which was the tabernacle in the wilderness. Of a man was over the top of the hill and he wanted to fellowship with God, he come into the tabernacle in the wilderness there to meet God. Moses and Miriam with Smith with leprosy went in and fell before God under the shed blood. Positionally, place yourself now for tonight. Get under the blood. Oh, these pains that's in your heart, get them out.
Yes.
Go before God under the blood.
Yes.
Confessing your wrongs and call and make it right. Help me. Moses got to answer the prayer right away because he went God's way under the blood.
Yes.
Before he could have fellowship, he went in under the blood. Now notice,
the lamb was slain. Back in the Old Testament, they had a red heifer. So Moses, when he started his journey, said, I make a provision for the cleansing of the people as they journey on, for if they do do wrong, they're out of fellowship. And before they can fellowship, I want you to make a waters of separation for them. And then Moses was commanded to take a red heifer, a young heifer. Now I want you to notice the word red means something. To you and I, red means danger. But red in the Bible means redemption. Redemption through the blood. All the way from Genesis to Revelation is a red streak of blood all the way through. Red all the way. Notice, they had to come under the shed blood. Now, just take a red heifer. Now, did you ever notice scientifically? You take something real red and look through red, to red, and it is white. Did you ever know that? Red to red looks white. And so God, knowing that man was a sinner by nature, knowing that he was wrong to begin with, he made a preparation to shed blood, and God, looking through the blood of the Lord Jesus, sees you a red sinner, white as snow. You have no more sin.
Amen.
When God looks through the blood of Christ, no matter what you've done, how much sin you've committed, what have you done, if the blood of Christ has been applied to the heart, God sees you perfect. Listen, I'll tell you a little secret in a few minutes about divine healing and about things. First thing, friends, is the preparation of the human heart. Yes, sir. Here a few days ago, I was up here in Chicago. The old scientist used to say, man thinketh with his heart. Nonsense. The Bible's wrong. There's no mental faculties in the heart to think with. Man thinks with his head, with his mind. But now they find out God was right. See? Man doesn't think with his head, his mind. He's a dual personality. Look, person in here first is intellectual. But they say that in the human heart, it isn't in an animal heart, it isn't in any other heart. But right in the human heart is a little compartment in the middle of the human heart that doesn't even have a blood cell in it. It is the occupation of the soul. So man really thinks with his heart, not with his head. Now if you think that, what's another way? That's so many lukewarm church members today. People have intellectual faith. They'll sympathize and say, oh, the Bible's right, sure, that's good. See? They have intellectual, oh, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I'll touch his personal Savior, smoke cigarettes, drink whiskey. Go on out and go to dances, lay on these beaches and things down here, sure. Christ is my Savior, oh, sure, certainly I belong to the church. That's intellectual faith. Many people have come into the prayer line and say, oh, brother, I got faith, sure. It's intellectual faith. But when that intellectual faith becomes down into this little compartment here, it becomes positive.
Hey.
All devils of hell think moving.
Hey.
Right.
Yeah.
When it comes down there, the sin question settles. Amen.
Yeah.
When he says, hey, I'm the Lord, the healer thee. When that comes through the intellectual faith, stop down in that little compartment here, and the doctors of Chicago tell you'll die.
No, sir. No, indeed.
It's really good. That's what God does. He moves out and takes that intellectual faith and speaks it down into the human heart. And when it comes into the heart, it becomes a positive factor. The God himself moves into the human heart and makes that a positive fact.
Yeah.
Amen. When that faith comes out of the mind into the human heart. Now you see what I mean? Now, under shed blood, he said, take that heifer 3 years old and she must be red. And to take her out here, the first thing, she must never have a yoke on her neck. Oh, I just love that.
Yeah.
Now listen, this might burn and scorch and chisel, but it's better to do it just for a little while than do it forever.
That's right, man.
Yeah. That heifer represented Christ, and Christ was not yoked up with anything.
That's right.
Amen. But God alone. Now, be not equally unequally yoked up with unbelievers. Go now, you're in them this and that and dilly-dallying around, yoking yourself up in these parties and dances and things. Keep yourself away from it. Just yourself with Christ.
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you on your knees.
Yeah.
This heifer cannot have a yoke upon her. She must be without any yoke on her. And then she must be killed in the presence of the high priest. And then when the high priest Aaron seen that the heifer was killed, Eliezer taken blood, Aaron's fingers, and went and slapped it on the door 7 times. Up on the door of the tabernacle, a public testimony. Then the heifer was taken and put in the fire and burned. Burned up and then was tucked out outside the court. Notice beautifully, gotta hurry. Outside the court, this was laid up in a clean place. For it was the waters of separation. In Ephesians, Paul said over there that God, by the preaching of the word, the waters of separation, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word.
Amen.
And the word of God is the waters of separation. What's by renewing by the water, by the word? Hearing the word separates us. Now the unbeliever, all the man of sin without God. Here's a little part we don't want to pass. That the water of separation must be kept in a clean place.
Amen.
And the preacher that preaches the gospel should be a clean, upright man.
Amen.
Not a cigarette thief.
No.
Not a dope addict.
No.
Not a drunkard or a golf player on Sunday afternoon and so forth like that. North, it must be kept in a clean, sanctified, holy vessel. The one that holds the mystery of God in his heart.
Yes, sir.
Must be in a clean church. I wonder if they can go in the basement, lottery, have soup suppers out there and dances for the young folks. Well, brother, if it ever gets to a place I have to do that to hold an audience, I'll quit and take me a bunch of checks and wait and can't go to chapel. Amen. I'd rather do it. Than to know that I've compromised upon the pure, unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus. Give me fellowship with Him. Amen. Preach the word. You don't have to have all this nonsense. Keep with the word. And the word separates sinners from his sin. Then every man out of fellowship cometh first to the waters of separation of the congregation. And he was sprinkled with these waters. Now what was it? The waters spoke of a dead sacrifice that went on before him.
Yeah.
The dead heifer died in his place. And when we preach the word, it is not any denomination, it's on Christ. The sacrifice he died in those places.
Right.
You're out of fellowship. Can't get prayer answered. Everything's dragged around you, out of fellowship. Come back to the word now. The word goes to cutting. Separates you whether you ought to do this, you ought to do that. This is it. You don't have fellowship no more. You got yourself out of communion. That's the waters of separation. Tells you what you should do. Then the first thing you know, the believer out of doing that. The next thing he did, he walked forward then. He's coming in, the believer now. He's walking forward. When he comes next to the door, he looks and sees 7 stripes of blood. Which means that blood went before him. Now he comes under those 7 stripes of blood, in under the blood, and then he has fellowship.
Right.
You see it?
Yes.
Fellowship with God. No fellowship nowhere else. And that whole thing in the tabernacle, in the justification of the court, sanctification at the altar, the Holy Spirit behind the veil, what moved in and let down, all a picture of Christ. No matter how much they organized, Korah organized the organization, said there's more holy man than Moses, so we just like God said, separate yourself from me right now, because he broke the program of God.
Yeah.
See? Fellowship was only one place, that's under the shed blood.
Hey.
Now this is Jesus
Christ.
Look, there is no fellowship outside of the body of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You can't have fellowship with God. No wonder people don't believe in divine healing. No wonder they can't believe in an old-fashioned God-sent revival.
Yeah.
No wonder they can't believe in these things that cleans a man's heart. You've got to come in first to the fellowship before you ever understand.
Hey.
Come in, hear the word, separates you, washes you. Then come out of the blood into the body of Christ, which the tabernacle was a perfect type of Christ.
Hey.
Tear this building down, I'll build up 3 days again. He was, and then by one Spirit, we're all led by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and then come out of the blood, all the sin questions settled on the outside, through the preaching of the word, through the sacrifice of the lamb at the altar, and now we're into fellowship with Christ, and we can come in and commune with the rest of them, those who are inside the building in Christ. We come in, you once called him a holy Lord, once you said he's crazy, he's lost his mind,
But whenever you want to come out of the shed, blood, and have fellowship, you walk over that man that you want to talk crazy loud. That woman you heard shouting that night, that neighbor that you talked about, it controls you back about me, you long to put your hand in his or hers and have a word of fellowship. Why, you come out of the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. No matter how good you are, what church you belong to, what creed you say, what prayers you make, unless you come out of the blood, you're still out of fellowship with God. Wouldn't it be marvelous now if the whole group of us right here, some 600 or 500 people, or whatever's in this party, all these people together this afternoon, we were one accord to come out under the blood, just like we're under this roof here, under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think would take place right now? What do you think would take place? God, there wouldn't be a single person among us in the next 5 minutes. Oh, my, the sinner sitting next to you, be so condemned, he couldn't understand. The Holy Spirit coming around. The waters of separation being poured out, the gospel preaching the Lord Jesus Christ in his supreme sacrifice. And the healing power pouring down through Calvary. Why, we just have a marvelous time, wouldn't we? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we could all get in fellowship? How many like to be in that fellowship? Raise your hand. Now listen, friends. I spoke some hard things this afternoon about organization. Now, it's not that I'm against organization. God knows that's the truth. I don't care about organization. But the thing is, when you think that organization is going to do something for you, it isn't. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing to do something for you. That's true. And then when that blood comes into your heart, your whole mental conception is different because you think from here then. See? Here's where Christ comes to the heart. And your thoughts are positive. It isn't, well, Miss Jones said if she could go to dance, it didn't bother her. See, you're thinking about Miss Jones. But when it's in the heart, you think about the Lord Jesus, what he would do. See, your whole thoughts are back here again. And that's what we need today, is this marvelous fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and God back in our midst talking to us. Now look. Now, if those stars are... I was timing the other day in the observatory, just before close, I'll give you a thought. If those stars, they said it would take me light, are traveling, I forget how many thousands of years, for speed traveling at the speed of light, light traveling at that fast, to come to this earth, thousands of years. Or light traveling to get to this earth from one of those stars. And we can see 120 million years of light space, and beyond that is just as star as it is here. How long would it take an angel to get from that here? Now, if you speak of heaven or when we die, that we go off to a place somewhere where you can't even see up there, can't you see that God has hid the glory from the natural eye? We are sitting here in heavenly places. Now the Holy Spirit is here. Now Christ is here. And the body that we receive when we go out of here, we go into another dimension, into a blessed place with the Lord Jesus. And at the return of Christ in his physical body, coming back to earth, he spiritually turned back and pick up a brand new body again to live forever. Amen. Amen. Oh my, if people could get the idea right now, of angels walking up and down those aisles, of Christ, the Son of God, moving around in the building. Oh, my. Why different? You're in his presence. And when your spirit becomes so charged with that outside world, and just like a magnet or a crystal in a radio, and when that gadget in there becomes so charged and magnetized, to those words stepping up until it strikes it and makes them positive. The radio coming through the air, the words we can't hear them with our ears, so we can't pick it up. But that crystal in the radio picks it up. The television, the same, it becomes positive. And when our intellectual faith comes down into the heart and it becomes so charged with the unseen world, that every word of God becomes a positive truth. You see what I mean? When God says it, it echoes against you just like it does on that crystal radio and makes it perfect. God said, I'm the Lord that heals you. That settles it. Amen.
That makes it real.
I'll be with thee even into the end of the world.
That makes it real. He said, now.
Now that's the way it is where I'm taken in divine healing. When an angel of the Lord appeared that night, said, I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. What will you do? He said, it shows signs and wonders among the people. I questioned him. I said, ah, they won't believe that. He said, it'll come to pass if you'll even know the very secrets of the heart. Tell them these things. And I questioned that. He referred it back to Christ. He said, I'll be with you. So when I walk to the platform to sick people or something like that on those things, it becomes a poverty thing. I believe it. I wish I could have faith right now to believe that every sick person in this building would be healed. Just like I had faith to know that he's standing right here.
Yes.
I wish I could have that type of faith. Wish each one of you could have it. But if our thoughts and our fellowship comes out from around the rims of the things that we see into the things that we don't see, then it becomes just as positive as the things we see or more positive.
That's right. Yes.
May the Lord bless you while we bow our faces. Heavenly Father, oh, for the fellowship around the body of Christ, around the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, how we love Him. How we appreciate His presence here now. The great Son of God, the resurrected one, whose words can never fail, written here in the Bible. That wherever two or three are gathered together in my own mouth, be in their midst. And he's here. God, may every unbeliever that's unregenerated, never come through the blood, has just been going to church, still got tempers, still got habits of the world they're holding on to, intellectual faith, but never been washed in sin so they can have perfect fellowship. God grant this afternoon that right now on this very spot, that every heart will be washed. Made clean in the blood of the Lamb. They'll come into a fellowship that tonight's meeting service will produce the greatest meeting that's ever been held in this world.
Hallelujah.
Grant it, Lord. Will you do it for the glory of God, we ask it. With our heads bowed, I wonder with everyone praying, if you will. I know it's getting late. But look, friend, it's getting late to be waiting. The day is far spent. Sunday afternoon this day, the first day of May. And the age is far spent. It's later than what we think it is. The coming of the Lord is near. Man's heart is through the great civilization fall and thinking right now. Just look at this tomorrow. What a disgrace. Look what Jesus said in the last days as it was in Noah, to be given in marriage and given a divorce court in America greater than all the nations stuck together. Look at the immorality. Look at the perversion of sex perversion. Out in the west coast and all around. Thousands and thousands growing every year.
That's right.
Filth, dirty.
That's right.
Ungodly. Taking the natural use of the body and being perverted into something. People with perverted minds. Men go out and tear on the way with you. Women wearing these little clothes out. They don't think they're wrong. Sure not. Their minds perverted. The devil got a hold of them. They don't know it. Ah, what a devil. Are you under the blood, believer? If you are not, why let the Lord Jesus and I alone look at this? If there's someone here honest in your heart and know, and by the preaching of the word, you've become to believe this, that you are wrong. Something in your heart tells you that you're wrong. If you still have these things, you desire those things. You don't know what they have to do and you have to desire them. You can look at the phone of woman to lust after her last committed adultery already in your heart. Not only take the gun and shoot your brother, but angry with him without a cause. If you know you're wrong, would you raise your hand and say, don't pray for me now. I pray that God will bring me under the blood and give me an old-fashioned experience that my heart be clean before God. If that person's in here, would you raise your hand just now before we have prayer and say, just to raise up your hand, not for me, but for God. Then God be merciful to me now. I want a real clean heart before you. Is that for you? One thousand, one thousand, God bless you. God bless you. You. God bless you, lady. God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. That's it.
God bless you, my brother. That's right. Be honest with God. Now, stop, not me. You're not raising your hand to me to God. God bless you, lady. I see you back there. Someone else says, God bless you, lady. You, sir. You, sir. God bless you. You, sir. That's the way to be honest. That's the way to be honest. You're the poor God. God bless you, lady. You won't have anything taken out of your life. Sure, God's going to do it. Only thing he has to do is let him do it now. Here's another before prayer. How we have our heads down. Dear God, oh, Father, those human souls, we realize, Lord, that in the building here is the one who is judging that day. Not even a sparrow can fall in the street without the Father knowing it. How much more do you know these people raising their hands in sincerity, sitting there in the long hours of the afternoon, listening to the word? I pray, God, that you have cleansed every heart just now with the blood of the Lord Jesus. May every habit, every sin of oppression or anything that's wrong with these dear people, God, I pray that you will take it away from them just now. Right. May we become humble and sweet Christians, hating iniquity and loving righteousness. Right. Oh, blessed Savior, God, my Father, may every person here receive great faith just now. We're looking forward to the night service, Lord, for the healing of the sick. Oh, would you just once more, Lord, one more time let it happen. The eve of our brother is going away overseas, that he might go with a fresh vision in his heart to see the kingdom of God brought before the children of man. May this be a wonderful service tonight. May every sick person who comes into your door tonight be made perfectly well. Will you grant it, Lord? Heal those who are in need, soul and body, while we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Been quite a few days. Been home, had lots of troubles and things, you know how it is around home. Left my poor lass until break of day. Come in, out all yesterday. Last night just a very little sleep. And up this morning and up here. I reckon I've kept you a long time. I'm sorry I've kept you all that time. I hope you, if the Holy Spirit, I've noticed, I want to say this, if I go give you a little bit of growth right now, I've been a whole reset year gone. I've had good audiences around the world. But I never had a more attentive audience than I have here in this little church here in Chicago. New people around me. I know it's this afternoon. I had on my heart when I come to the platform to speak on something else. Really, the Holy Spirit was coming to his lips on the Ark of the Covenant, what I was going to speak on. And when I walked the platform up here, I thought fellowship would be a good thing to speak. I'd done something that was crossed up myself for the Holy Spirit told me not to do. I tried to battle on you. Let me tell you something. And what I said about Brother Joseph, you need to go, wasn't wrong, right or wrong. So did you. There hasn't been a person left in any just building in your bank. All the time I could be sitting here, all the time knowing that the evening service is coming on, and many of you have to go home and each other, you sat right here with me. Bless your heart. I love you. I take you before God. And you stuck right by it when you see me even batting. See, that's what I mean when I'm in the wrong somehow. See? When I'm in the wrong. Now, I pray that God will give you everything that you have in every desire of your heart. And may you, how many of you want to be healed tonight? Raise your hand. Just everybody in the room. God bless you. Oh, my, may his grace be with you. Now, if you have to go home, won't you go and rest up a little bit? Come back about, after a while, pick you up a prayer card, come on up tonight and be prayed for. I just believe we're going to have a wonderful meeting, don't you?
Ah!
God bless you. I promise you it's not a bad thing. I'll see you about a couple of hours.